Hello, we're on episode 11 of the Endi Podcast. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm still recovering from being sick, so you can hear my voice.
Yeah. Deep. Yeah. Hey, I was sick before you. I think you caught it from me.
No, I definitely did catch it from you. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, listen, look at it this way. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I guess Merry Christmas, especially since you got me sent to the ER and everything like that. But anyway.
I keep life interesting. So...
by ending it.
We're coming towards the end of the year now. Yeah, by ending your life and ending the year with it. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about this movie that came out, I believe, actually technically came out last year.
Really? It came out last year?
It came out last year. It's a European movie. That's probably why we didn't really hear about it here in the States. And it finally, you know, people started talking about it here when it was coming to DVD. So much so, I think even like Fangoria and a couple of other websites were talking about it. I think Fangoria actually did like a Blu-ray giveaway, which I did not win. just saying, guys. I mean, I'd like to win something. Come on. We all want to be winners. I'm already a winner. I just want something to show for it.
Wiener. You're a wiener.
Oh, thank you. And so this movie, it came out. It got a lot of reviews. I believe Rotten Tomatoes actually even gave it a pretty good score, which, you know, they don't always give movies...
Really?
No, big score, yeah. It's got 82%.
That is actually kind of surprising, because we'll get into it, but I didn't personally like this movie that much. I liked it, but it has its flaws.
It depends, yeah. It's a matter who you watch with it. And the movie we're talking about here is Goodnight Mommy, which some of you might have heard of if you're coming from the German world. You know, it's Ich se, which I think always translates to I see. Or in the UK, as it was released as Goodnight Mummy.
Goodnight Mummy.
Mummy.
You gonna put a gas mask on the kids?
No, but they wore masks themselves. So, just to let you guys know, Goodnight Mommy, we're going to be spoiling the ever-living hell out of it here. So, if you haven't seen this movie, feel free to pause, stop now, go back to another episode, because we're going to spoil it. I'm talking about we're going to let fungus grow on it. That's how spoiled we're going to get with this thing.
All right, so really where the story takes place is in Germany, which they don't actually say where, do they?
Technically Austria, I believe, because it's in I thought it was Germany, but they're very similar, but well, an Austrian film,
I think
yeah.
The mother does say she's Austrian or mm-hmm. something of that sort. Anyway, the story really takes place out in the middle of the woods, more rural areas, not a lot of people.
It's like a vacation house or something, it almost seems like.
Yeah, it would be more like a vacation house. I think there's a lake by the house, too, and it's about this woman who just had facial reconstruction surgery, and her two boys are living there together. You can tell from the beginning that the parents are divorced. They talk about the father, you never see him.
Yeah, they make a couple of references like, Dad lets me do this.
But it is a strange movie right from the start, because you get a shot of the two boys just playing around the neighborhood, well, the forest, and I think the shot really ends in a weird way, because one of the boys walks into a cave, and then it just goes dark. From there on, you find it that they're running in a field of corn, I think it was.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I didn't know, you know, Germany and Austria had corn, but yeah, I guess they do.
It's a weird crop. Anyway.
They call it maize.
Maize. So, eventually they get back to the house, and you finally see the mother. They come in, they're dirty, and she's pissed. So, she yells at them, makes them clean up, and then they come back, and they're in the kitchen. She's cooking, and she only makes a drink for the one boy.
Elias.
There's Elias, and...
Lucas. Which, it's funny, because both twins, that's actually their real names. I guess they're going by their actual, you know, real names.
No, it's easy writing.
Hey, why not? Well, easy acting for them. They look like, what, they're maybe 8 or 9, probably?
Yeah. Well, also, you think about it, it's hard enough to come up with a good name for a character.
No, that's true. Well, not only that, also, you got their kids, their twins... I mean, if you were specifically looking for twins to work with and these are the only ones you found, you know what? We'll just make it easy. Just go by your real name.
Plus, the kids are creepy. They are actually really creepy because they don't do a lot of talking in the movie until it really starts to progress.
Yeah, the movie has a very silent moodiness to it. There's a lot of silence, so it really sets the whole tone of we're out in the middle of nowheres.
And there's also the one thing that I can say this movie does well. It put me to sleep, but I can't say that it was bad. It's the pacing. The movie's pacing is very well done.
It's very dramatic. You almost want to say, you know, film noir.
Film noir. So we're at the point where she's giving one of the kids a drink. But one boy drinks half of it, and he tells his mother, "Why didn't you pour a drink for
Lucas?"
Lucas. She says, "You know better than that," basically, and walks away. Then she gives the cup to Lucas, and Lucas drinks the other half.
He drinks the ever-living
like
hell out of it.
He hasn't drank it in years.
And he turns and he's like, "You should apologize." So they set you up to think, all right, he's in trouble, and he just pissed mommy off. And you can understand why mommy's pissed. She just had an accident. Facial reconstruction surgery. They kind of allude to the fact that...
Well, they don't actually say that she was an accident.
They don't. I mean, they mention an accident at some point, but they don't go to details of the accident. Just there was an accident. Whether she was involved or not, we don't know. We do know she got facial reconstruction surgery, and that apparently she was some kind of worked in like the media or something.
Yeah,
the
next scene is where they talk about that, because they're in the room together, Elias, Lucas, and the mother. Which, did they say the mother's name?
No, I just call her mommy.
They just call her mommy. And they're in the room, they're in the living room together, and they're playing games. So there's, what's that game called where you put the post-it to your head?
It's like 20 questions, I think.
Yeah, so they're playing 20 questions, and it seems she's ignoring Lucas. She's only playing with Elias. And eventually he asks her why he ignores Elias. What did Lucas do?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I get confused between the two there. So
they
twins.
Look a lot alike.
They're twins. So they kind of an argument breaks out from there. A little tiny kid argument with his mother. Eventually she gets mad and she kind of walks out of the room. She does that a lot. She seems to just get frustrated and just not want to deal with the situation, which you can't blame the woman. I mean, she just had really serious surgery. So where it starts to develop is that the mother tells the boys that she can't be in sunlight. She can't be doing certain things. She just really doesn't want to deal with the kids.
Yeah, she's got to rest because of her surgery.
So she's sleeping a lot. She closes all the blinds. And one thing that a lot of questions brought up to me was she goes and practically locks the boys in their room.
Yeah, a couple of times. Well, there's one time where they lock themselves in to keep her out. But, I mean, that's the basic premise. Now, what's going on in this movie is the fact these boys don't think that this is their mom. It gets to the point where they're staring at her. So they feel she's acting different and everything. And the whole good chunk of the movie is based on them, you know, discussing, "I don't think that's our real mom. I think it's a replacement or something."
And the movie does do a very good job of making you think that it's not. Especially when they do shots where it'll show Elias sleeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go into one of his dreams. And some of his dreams are really dark. For example, there's three good ones. One is she eats one of the cockroaches, which there is actually a really odd scene right in the beginning of the movie. Apparently, Lucas and Elias have a fish tank full of cockroaches as pets.
Pets. Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Maybe
I guess they really like pets.
Thing?
I mean, at some point they bring a cat in.
Right, yeah, they do. So it shows her eating one of the cockroaches in bed.
They put it on her and it crawls into her mouth and she doesn't react and then she just eats it.
The next shot is, I think one of the boys cuts her stomach open or it just slowly gets slit open and a bunch of cockroaches start pouring out of her stomach. And then the last shot that I really remember well is when she runs off into the woods.
Runs into the woods, takes her clothes off, kind of stands still, and then just starts like...
Wigging out
like a Marilyn Manson video, going all over the place. And these are dreams. But the way it's shot, you might not realize they're dreams, because if you're not fully paying attention, you might not realize that they just wake up after these scenes. So you might not catch on to that it's a dream. You might actually think, "Oh my God, this bitch is possessed."
Well, I think they were trying to set up for the kid is seeing some like demonic things.
The
in
kid,
his dreams.
Yeah, and that the kid more reason to. "I don't think that's my mommy. I think that's some crazy hoe that just came into our house."
When it starts getting odd is, I think they start hiding in their room for her. You'll start seeing scenes of them like peeing in water bottles because they just refuse to leave the room.
Yeah.
They took all their toys and books.
They make weapons,
little tiny spears. They take with a toy crossbow and sharpened pencils so that they can shoot them.
They take the suction cups off the tips and then sharpen the tips.
Which actually I was pretty surprised by that because those things look really lethal. The pencils were going into the wall.
Well, I was pretty surprised. Not only is it going to the wall, when you see him sharpening the thing with the blade, I mean, quite honestly, you know how they might use doubles? No, but then when the camera pans back, and I'm pretty sure they didn't use CGI, that's that kid playing with the blade for real.
My other question is, why is the mother letting their kid have a razor blade? I mean, first, I know you're sick, but
she probably just
you got to pay attention to
this. She might have got it from the garage, but I mean, the movie was, see, I'm also curious. The movie was directed by a team. I was going to say a couple, but I don't think they're together. Veronica Franz and Severin Faglia. Most movies, I think, and if you look them up, I don't think we know anything of theirs. The boys themselves, like I said, maybe they kept it simple because it looks like this is their first real role in anything, as far as we know here in America, or they might have been in other things over there. And then I looked up the actress who played the mom, Suzanne West, or West?
West.
W-U-E-S-T, West.
Wust.
Or is it Vest? I don't know.
Actually, Vest. Probably Vest. Wust.
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 We're spending too much time on this. She's got a long list of things. Nothing that we probably know, but all European things. But
she's actually kind of an odd-looking woman. I think she actually does a really well job in this movie because she pulls off the sickly mother really well.
She does. Maybe she really was sick. They're like, listen, go smoke and drink and don't sleep. 5 days, and then we're gonna start footage. We'll start production, bitch, when you look sick. So, as you can tell, we're both recovering. All right, so these kids don't believe it's mom. They make a plan, and this is when it goes, this is when the movie takes a turn for the what the hell?
Well, I think you start to realize that things are getting really weird when they go into her room when she's sleeping and they go on her computer. Because there's videos of her recording herself. And
I kind of got the feeling, yeah, she's talking. I kind of got the feeling that it looks like it was for a dating website or something. Because she's like, I've never done this before.
Yeah, honestly, that might be it. And then it's also, I mean, she is supposed to be a Wheel of Fortune woman, you know.
Vanna White or something. Yeah, she's like a model or TV something. She's
whatever that would be in Germany. But they're looking at the camera and the shots of her, and her eyes are a completely different color.
And then they also find a picture of her with a woman that looks like an old picture from like when she's maybe a teenager, of another woman that looks just like her, dressed just like her. And that to them is like the nail in the coffin. The eyes are not the same color. She's got a woman in her past that looks just like her. Now they're
doppelganger.
Now they're like, they bring the picture, like, who is this? Who is this? Where's our real mom? Who are you? Who is this in the picture with you? And she like, it's just a friend.
Which I never actually got that because they don't explain who the hell that other woman is.
They don't. And it almost goes to the point where you think, was she a twin?
Yeah. I mean, with the shot, the photo, they're just like, oh, it was a friend of mine who just dresses up like me. Which is where I start to get to the point where I'm like, good idea, but kind of pulling strings on that one.
And then it doesn't help when they look at her eyes. What color are her eyes? They're green in the bed. In the video, they're brown. And then the best part, she has a birthmark on her face. And it's there. She wipes it off. And then they're like, oh, hell no. Hell no, this bitch is not trying to pretend to be mom.
So I think this is when we get to the part where they wake up before her.
Oh, wake up before her, sneak in and tie the bitch to the bed?
Yes, right? They tie her to the bed. Hands.
They go borderline Stephen King's Misery on this bitch. She
oh God,
cannot
yeah.
move.
So they start basically torturing her, really.
Yeah, what is it? They use a magnifying glass to burn her face. They're not letting her go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, but it starts with them. They're questioning her why her eyes are different colors, and she's saying, they're contacts, go look in there. And then that's a weird thing, too, because when he goes in, Lucas actually... Elias.
Doesn't find him. He
goes into the bathroom.
Context.
He doesn't find the contacts, but Lucas follows him in. And him and Lucas get into a fist fight.
Yeah, because he's like,
you're
starting to believe her that she is her mom. And he's like, well, you shouldn't believe her. And then the big thing that really pushes them both over the edge is when he gets the phone, comes back with the phone. There's a scene where she pulls him apart and she takes him to the room and Lucas is stuck outside. While the mom took Elias into the room and closed the door and essentially punishing him, forcing him to say over and over, I am your mom. You are my mom. You are my mommy. And apparently either this is seen differently or it happens later on. He pulls the phone out and shows footage of the mom having recorded the son saying not to listen to Lucas. Don't listen to Lucas. And that's what puts him over the edge finally.
But he's also, like, there's another interesting about that is that the mother seems to be hitting him. Also, smacking him in the face when he doesn't do it.
Yeah, she's getting to the point where she's getting pissed off and kind of a little more violent. And then they're like, well, when he pulls the phone out, you're telling me not to listen to my twin brother. My mom would not do that. And she's like, I'm sorry, but at this point, she's tied up.
There's nothing she can do.
So now she's going to, you know, she doesn't know what to play along in this. And it really looks as if Lucas is the one pushing for the, this isn't our mom. This is, don't believe her. This is not our mom.
Which I love, especially with the fact that they have a big role in this movie, is that the kids like to wear these demon masks, the green demon masks.
Yeah, you see at the beginning of the movie. Yeah, that's right. When they finally tie mom up. Yeah, and they show up. When they're finally getting serious with mom and she's tied in bed, they show up wearing the masks. Like, what up, bitch? How you doing, ho? Can't move now. You gonna hit me now? You gonna hit me now? I didn't think so. You gonna eat my roaches?
The movie then progresses to them really getting, like you said, misery levels. I thought there's a really shot that kind of freaked me out was when they super glue her lips together because she keeps lying to them.
Yes, she keeps lying, and they finally get tired of her. They tape her mouth shut, and the people from this annoyed me. The Red Cross people came. This couple, old couple, come in to get money for the Red Cross. They come in, they walk in the house because no one answers, and the whole time they're dealing with it, the kids are getting rid of them. They leave. Just as they leave, the mom was able to get her mouth free of the tape, and she starts yelling hello, and they finally get pissed, and they super glue the bitch's mouth shut.
But the reason that was another thing that kind of, it seems like they did that just for the movie, just for shock value, mm-hmm. is because they're trying to interrogate her to find out the truth, right?
Yeah, why would you glue her mouth?
Why would you glue her mouth shut? There's other things you could have done to punish her.
You put more tape on her mouth.
And I know I'm speaking for the logic of a kid, but I don't think a kid's that dumb where he's going to glue the woman's mouth shut and then keep yelling at her, give me an answer.
That's true. Was I don't know. I mean, the kids seem a little psychotic. I mean, what was it? Even your girlfriend at the end of the movie was like, that's it. I'm not having no German kids. I'm not playing with this shit, especially twins.
Blondes.
Well, you super glue the bitch's mouth shut. You don't want to be mean. You want her alive. It's time to feed her. Oh, shit. Her mouth is glued shut. What do we do? Grab the scissor. We'll cut the glue off. And, of course, what happens?
They fuck up.
Snippity snip.
Oh, God. And you can tell that Elias is trying to be so fucking careful.
Yeah. And he just splits her lip open. She's bleeding all over the place.
You know, normally blood, it doesn't bother me that much. Just the fact that it's her lips that are bleeding. It's like the face stuff.
Because I had seen the movie before you guys saw it. So I got to see as it's happening. I would just look at you guys. I wouldn't even watch the footage. I watched you guys as you cringe. As it happened, I was like, yep. Yep. There was going to be blood.
I was nervous that they were going to move to the eyes at some point, which, I mean, they kind of do.
Yeah, they did super glue her eye. Well,
they super glue one eye for some reason.
Which is, I think, kind of goes with the whole twin thing. Well, so now they're trying to figure out, you're not my mommy, and they're going to let her, they've had her tied there. They've been hurting the bitch. She's peed the bed. The one kid goes and gets his little crossbow and keeps it pointed at her. And they're like, they untie her. They cut her free. Clean the bed. You know, clean the sheets. And she gets away. She starts running. They're chasing her. Boom! She gets knocked out. She wakes up.
Oh, yes. They have a little tripwire built out the back door.
She gets knocked the fuck out.
She falls on her face, too.
She gets knocked, then she wakes up, she's on the middle of the floor, and this is where she gets evil. She wakes up, one eye is super glued shut, she's in the middle of the floor. I don't even know if she's super glued to the floor or not, because she's not getting up.
She's tied. Her hands and feet are tied together.
And the fish tank is now full of water with maybe a layer of oil, because the kid walks in with a torch and puts it to the fish tank and lights it, and the fish tank becomes a giant-ass torch. And then they're, you know, trying to, he's like, where's our real mommy? And then she gets to the point, she's got a bargain. Listen, I'll talk to Lucas if you want. I'll set up both your clothes in the morning. I'll put food out for him. Just let me go. Just let me go. You know, let me go, please. You know, and she's begging at this point. And this is where that one shot, and this is where the big spoiler of the movie is. So if you've been with us up to this point, watch out.
Lucas just randomly appears right out of the back of Elias.
Yeah, like it's a long shot where you've seen Elias has been standing there. You saw him walk into frame by himself, standing there while she's bargaining with him. And then out of nowhere, from right behind him comes Lucas. You're like, wait, where did he just come from? And that's when you start to realize, I don't think Lucas is alive.
No.
In fact, for all we know, he might not ever exist, or he might have died, or maybe he died in the accident. We don't know. All we know is she's saying she'll play along. And he's like, oh, really? So tell me, what's Lucas doing right now? So it's like, mommy, I can see Lucas. If you're my real mommy, you'd be able to see him too. What's he doing? And what is he doing?
Oh, he's lighting the curtains on fire.
Which is a great shot, because even if you haven't realized it yet, he walks over with the candle or whatever to the things, and she's like, I can't see him. And he's like, our mommy would be able to see him. And then Lucas is just standing there with the candle. It's not until Elias comes over and grabs his hand and touches it. That's when you start to realize, once you see that, you get one of those flashes in your head. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, shit, that's right. Elias has been doing almost all the physical stuff. Yeah. While Lucas is just behind him like, I don't trust this bitch. I don't trust this bitch. Glue a bitch's mouth shut.
Which, you know, another thing is, there's a point in the movie where they actually cut, Elias cuts his hair to look just like Lucas.
Yeah.
So you start to fade in and out of, you really can't tell who's actually doing what.
Yeah, and there's even the whole scene, he's cutting hair. He's like, take a little more off the side. They already look alike a shitload, so I don't know what that's about. He's like, take a little more off the side. Now she'll never be able to tell us apart. I'm like, motherfucker, there is only you. There's no other person to tell apart. But it's Elias is the messed up little kid. He's a messed up little Austrian German boy.
Yeah.
He's deranged.
Which,
and what happens at the end?
The house burns down. The boys run upstairs, and they don't actually say what happens to him.
Yeah, you don't know. You see them run upstairs, not to the door. You see them pass the door, run upstairs. Mom gets she gets to pick whether she wants to be original or crispy.
Deep fried.
Deep fried. Yeah, they run upstairs. House burns down. The movie has a very odd ending, but we'll get to that later on, though. But yeah, they burned. At no point do you see them escape the house. Now, if they did escape the house, that'd be a good setup for like a part two or something, with Elias and his messed up non-existent brother.
Or his father.
Oh yeah, goes to live with daddy.
Daddy.
But the movie, it definitely plays with you. It toys with your emotions. First, you're thinking, I don't trust this bitch. I don't trust this bitch. It's like, oh, you little shit! It's been you the whole time. Ooh. And this is why you don't want little German kids in your house.
No twins. Actually, I just remember there is a really interesting scene. There's a part about halfway through the movie, the boys escape the house. She finally lets them go out to play.
Yes, that's right. She goes out to play, and they just run for it.
They just run, and I think they run. They have to run at least a couple miles.
Yeah, they run to town.
They run into the nearest town.
Church.
And they run to the nearest church, and they look for the pastor. Unfortunately, they can only find, what would you consider this man?
I forgot this.
He's just like, he's kind of like
it's called a sexton. Basically, they're the person that takes care of the land and the church.
So he's basically a glorified janitor.
Yeah, a sexton janitor.
So they find him and they're looking for the pastor because they want the pastor to perform an exorcism
or something.
Something. They want the pastor to do something about their mother. But now that I'm thinking about it, he only really looks and talks to one boy.
Same thing happens when the Red Cross are there.
Oh, yes.
The whole time the Red Cross is there, one boy sitting at the table with them, while the other one just in the background, and you don't see them reacting to the other one. He's there, doing stuff in the background, just sitting there, but not interacting with them.
You can give them the finger and stuff, screaming at them.
And there's lots of scenes where, like, especially when there's people around, where you see Lucas just bent, lean in and talking to Elias's ear. Like, and what made it really, is when they're standing there, and Lucas kind of just calls over Elias, like waves at him, like, come here. And Elias just looks at them and he goes, I have to go pee.
There's also a lot of shots of Elias screaming for Lucas, and Lucas just doesn't show up.
Lucas!
Yeah, I think he must yell Lucas at least 40 times in the movie without him
showing up. When they go into the into the cave. He's looking for him. There's lots of shots where nothing is, like, where there's no need for him. He's just not there. Like, when he goes into the cave, he just disappears on him, and it's just him by himself. Then Lucas pops up. When he's in the lake floating, he's looking for Lucas. There's other shots when he's, what, eating or cleaning in the house. He's just looking for Lucas every so often, just randomly when things go quiet and mom's not around. It's just Lucas kind of disappears on him.
Now, my big problem with this movie was that, especially with the people we were watching with, because we didn't watch this by ourselves, a lot of us were catching on pretty quickly to the fact.
Oh, yeah, the movie wasn't even half. Like I said, I'd seen it before. The movie's not even halfway through, and one of the people watching just turns and goes, Lucas is not alive. And I'm just like, oh, you kind of ruined it for everybody, but okay. I didn't say yes or no. I just kept quiet like, that's your theory. That's your problem to deal with.
They do a great job at it.
Yeah,
at the same time, they don't.
I kind of felt if they really pushed the whole thing of him saying, you should apologize to mom, or say sorry, maybe she'll do this. If they really pushed that point a couple of more times, you really would have felt that, yeah, she's pissed off at him and doesn't want to deal with his shit.
What I would have done is probably for at least 20 minutes in the movie, have her pretend he's there, acknowledging him. And then all of a sudden, Lucas and Elias do something that they get in trouble.
And she only yells at one.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I kind of thought that would have been an idea, because she refers to, I'll put the clothes out for him, I'll feed out for him. You know, put food out for him or anything. It would have been, yeah, if maybe they showed even just once or twice her do something, and even as she's doing it, be like, oh, that's right. And then, like even she put two cups down and goes, oh, that's right, and take one cup away. Because it could just be in her head, oh, that's right, she's so used to having twins that she's set up. So it still works whether he's alive or not alive or being punished.
Like they were perpetrating the fact that she might be evil more than the fact that this boy is, they're trying to pretend that this boy is still alive.
I mean, I do think they did a good job.
Oh, of course.
It's just, yeah, but like any movie, you could spend thousands of dollars, and just there will be little things that even afterwards, I'm sure directors are like, I really shouldn't have done that. As long as they don't George Lucas it, it's all good.
So why don't you tell us about the ending?
The ending, the house burns. We don't know what happened to the kids. Next thing, you just see the camera going through the cornfield. We come to an opening, and we see mom. Mommy, come out of the wood looking all normal. Just kind of walk out of the darkness into the light. Out of the darkness and into the light.
She's just glowing a little.
She's glowing a little the way they do it, because I think it's supposed to be maybe that they're dead, because she walks in and she looks normal. She doesn't look like all the bandages she's up. Even without the bandages, she doesn't look as frail and messed up. She looks healthy now. And then we see from behind the camera, the boys come out and go and join her. They stand next to her and then they just stare at the camera for like a good 20 seconds in a very creepy fashion.
Really long time they stare at the camera.
And it's funny because one of them is smiling. I noticed one boy smiling, the other one's not. That's probably just the way they did it, but I'm like, that kind of works too.
One thing did dawn on me after I saw that though. Mm-hmm. And I kind of questioned it for a second was, what if even after all of this, that still wasn't actually their mother?
That's true.
Because what if Lucas died in the accident, the mother died in the accident, so the father knew that there was this other woman that looks just like his wife.
But that'd also be kind of sick to do to a kid, though.
You but do know, again, you got a picture, though, this is the kid, and this is the world we live in. Some people would actually take that risk to make sure their kid isn't
that is true. I mean, this kid's already seeing his dead-ass brother, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably tons of times people have lied to their children to just make sure that they don't.
You know
get
what?
Messed
just
up.
Now, lots of people all over the world just lied to their kids, telling them that there's a Santa Claus. Spoiler.
So there you go. So maybe that woman was never actually the mother in the first place. She was pretending to be the mother. That's why she had all the makeup on to make it seem
maybe
like.
Maybe she died, and now that the boys really died, they reunited with.
But
mom.
They finally the family is finally together, and that other woman was just the other woman the whole time. That's why the mole wasn't there. That's why she got the makeup. That's why she has the contact lenses.
I don't know. That's pretty far-fetched to go to get facial reconstruction. Like, listen, I got a messed up little kid living in a house by himself. He's all kinds of fucked up and
psycho. We don't
know
anything about the father either. He could be rich. He could actually have paid this woman to do these things.
I would not mind seeing a part two with, and this is where the twist came. Because, I mean, the ending could easily be, you know, they died and that now they're actually finally together. Or that in his mind, now that mommy's dead and my brother's dead, I can see my brother, even though he's dead. Now mommy's dead, and now I can see her and mommy, and we're all together. Maybe he did survive. But I could definitely see a part two where he goes to live with daddy, and now he and now daddy's trying to get him to, you know, try to convince him. The whole good chunk of the movie, Lucas doesn't exist, your mom doesn't exist, and then we can turn it into a different kind of horror. Lucas does exist. And Lucas was never your brother's spirit haunting you. It was something else. Something more evil.
Well, I actually thought that at the very beginning of the movie.
It was because, a good idea.
Because in the beginning of the movie, like I said, it starts off with the boys finding a cave, and they run into the darkness, and then you just get a blank black shot.
Not only that, that's the first time Lucas disappears. Maybe I was mental and seeing my brother, but I went to this cave, and now something took over. It's his place.
Someone had the opportunity, and they took it.
A demon, yeah. Now, yeah, it's a really good
which
thought.
Would be interesting also because the demon mass. Like, I would have loved to see a shot where near the end of the movie, like right with that scene with the fire, the boys are wearing the mass. Now she can see Lucas. She's freaking out.
That would have been interesting if she could suddenly see him in the fire.
They take the mask off. Elias is fine. Lucas's face is god fucked up.
Like from the car accident or just like
rotted,
demonic?
Like demonic, rotted. And see, she can finally see what's been messing with her son.
See, it's funny you say that because my thought was, yeah, she looks over at him, sees him standing there through the flames, and only through the flames, not only in the fire of the actual flames can you actually see the other brother standing there. And because that would be messed up, because then that only puts her, oh my god, my son's messed up and I'm dying now. Now it's my son's, oh shit, for real? Now I'm dying?
And my son's haunted.
This motherfucker's here, now I'm dying? Lots of play. I did think overall it was a good movie. I mean, I do like Moody, and the movie definitely set up a lot of mood with silence. It reminds me of the movie Amnesiac, which I didn't think you saw.
No, I don't think I've
more
seen
of a more of a thriller, but it's also a recent one. I got to see it in the city, actually out of it was a special Fangoria screening, and that movie very very quiet. I mean, it also had a small cast, just like this movie. Literally, when you look at it. Even when you look on, what is it, Wikipedia, it literally pretty much just lists the cast as mom and two boys. Like, there's a handful of other people, but their roles are so small, they don't even think they get names.
The thing is also with this movie is that they really don't, like I said before, they do a great job with the pacing, but I feel they do a lot of pacing, and they do a lot of building up. But the problem is there's no story in the building up. So there's nothing going on. So you're going to get a lot of slow, as you put it, noir kind of things. But instead of taking all this empty space and just filling it with, oh, maybe if we extend out this scene for way too long, we could make a bigger creep factor out of it. We could have had something happen. Like, that works in portions. But when you're doing that in every single shot, you get to the point where I actually dozed off during the middle of the movie.
I understand. You're also on hocked up on meds.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's more, also
it, too. You've been near death. Tell me what you see. I do think the movie does have you've been seeing
that. I saw Lucas.
I do think the movie has potential because, I mean, these were two, what you would call two good-looking boys. Now, if you took and made a part two and took two twins but made them older... You know, twins, Bazo, twins. So if you take two, like, so you can definitely play, especially, because this is where my look. You got these two good-looking kids. You put them teenagers. Now you've got these two good-looking teenagers, which you can have girls liking him. Now you got the deal of he's dealing with this girl and his brother. And, you know, now you got that to play on. You know, he's going, like, this girl's trying to hit on him, and he's like, well, I got to go home, hang out with my brother, and this and that, you know. Because that works for a storyline, too, where she's like,
who?
What the fuck are you talking about? I only see you here. You know, shit like that. I'd be like, what brother?
You could even, you know what would be more interesting? Is shots like people walking up to the house. So there's only a few times that people come to the house. You got the Red Cross people and...
The priest was it? It was the priest, yeah, when he drove
the
him
priest
home.
Went, yeah, he drove him home, but he kind of like took her to the front door and yelled at her for letting her kids run away.
Yeah, and at that point they ran inside and locked her out, it looks like, but she had the key.
But what you could have done, which would have been interesting, is you have a shot, like, with the priest leaving, he looks up in the window, sees one boy in the window, he's like, oh, it's just the kid. And he sees another boy walk in, and they don't explain that the two boys are not supposed to be there. It's only supposed to be one.
They just not only that, the priest doesn't look like he'd know, too, because it's not like he goes... It's, you know, they ran to this thing and asked for a priest. So it's not like they know the priest and the priest would know them. So the priest would look up and just be like, just, yeah, if he looked up and just be kind of confused, like, oh, look, there's two boys.
But there's only
and just drive away. But he wouldn't know there's only supposed to be one. So even if he saw it...
He'd make a face. And that would have been enough for me to be like, all right. So now you're kind of like playing with it a little. They stuck to a very bare bones script with it.
Which worked. Like I said, the movie, I think it was an overall good movie.
Yes.
It worked. But it definitely just stayed very mommy's crazy and then son's crazy. They definitely it at the end it becomes more psychological.
Yes.
But they definitely, if they really wanted to, could have gone to a more supernatural type style and like aspect of it, which is great. I mean, if what's her name, Victoria and Severin, yo, if you guys are out there, you want to re-edit, we can do the Eddai version.
Yeah, but I want to be paid for this.
I want to be paid for it. I want to add more scenes.
I have to be in it.
I'm kind of iffy on meeting these two little kids. I don't know if I want to actually meet them in real life. They might creep me the hell out.
And it has to be in a costume. So I want a scene with the kids, and it's super serious. Like, they're torturing the mother. And, like, they do a lot of shots where it's angled up where it's the two kids in a window. I just want to see Ed in a costume float by past the window.
Just walk by out of nowhere.
Just out of nowhere. Goes right by. Nothing is explained.
It's funny, because even the cover, when you know the story, you look at the cover art for the movie and everything, it's pretty interesting. Because it's, you know, it's the picture of one boy. The whole cover is in red. And it's a picture of one boy up close, and you see the other one kind of behind them. So it kind of, right off the bat, it's telling you a little bit. And if you notice, throughout the whole movie, Lucas seems to be behind Elias all the time. And then like I even said at the beginning of the movie, they start off wearing two different colors. Elias seems to be wearing, I think he's the one wearing yellow.
A red green top, a tank top, and a green tank top.
Yeah, these boys are wearing tank tops the whole time. They're wearing wife beaters the whole time. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's an Austrian
thing. I need like a snowing shot, and they're still wearing the beaters.
Yeah, I need them to be like cold as all hell, and they're like, Mom, why do you not buy us the new clothing? But yeah, the beginning, Elias is wearing a yellow tank top, and Lucas is wearing a black one. And as the movie goes, you see them wearing... Their colors start slowly. His black one is a little more like a light gray one, and the other one's wearing like a white one. Eventually gets to the point towards the end of the movie where they're both wearing the same thing. So it's almost as if they're mixing and becoming one. And that's just something I picked up on, this just because, you know, I'm a cinematic mastermind.
I wonder if that's actually like a thing, you know, for people with the psychological issue where they'll see someone that's passed. Like if you were a twin to have your twin brother die. Would the personality that you have remnant with you start to become you? Your mind is so focused on the fact of their death and wanting them back that you start to become them, to be with them. You know what I'm saying?
I've heard of situations like that. Kind of, yes, kind of, no. It's almost like when you lose your hand, people have phantom limb. With twins, there are stories of twins that, like, feel their twin there, even though they're not, whether they're alive or not. And then you have situations where twins... were separated at birth, never met each other, and then years later meet, and they've got a ton of stuff in common.
Phantom twin.
Phantom twin, that'd be pretty
interesting. That's trademark, nobody take that.
I'll have to write that down. Phantom twin. Now I gotta write that down. So, overall, what's your thought?
I don't know if I'd agree completely with the Rotten Tomatoes score. I'd give it like a 70, maybe a 60. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, I would definitely say watch it. Don't watch it while you're on drugs. You'll fall asleep.
IMDb gave it a 6.7 out of 10.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would give it more like a 5. And mostly because what I was saying before, where I wasn't too thrilled with the pacing. As much as I do actually like it, there is not enough given to you to make it good. It's a hard way to explain it, really.
It's like you enjoyed it, but you wanted more from it.
I feel it's not even that I wanted more. I feel it could have been a lot more.
It's like sleeping with the fat girl.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But
the fat girl needs love too, Craig.
And then the other problem with it is that I contradict myself, because you could, as I want it, you could ask for more. But at the same time, is more always a good thing?
Yeah,
is this movie good as it is?
Yeah.
Because with all the stuff I'm putting into it that I would like to see, does that make it eventually fall into the cliche?
Yeah, does it hit too much cliche where now it's just like, where it goes from being, yo, check out this movie? Because I'm sure you would tell people, yeah, go check it out. Or, you know, from being a movie you should check out to being, it's just some other random horror movie. Don't even bother.
I mean, the idea I've heard done, I've seen it done, and not done very well.
Well, they brought up the movie from the 70s, The Other.
The Other, which I think was, that would be the great example of this. That would be, if I was going to say this is like a 4 or 5, that would be what, this would be the 6.
See, also, you got to keep in mind, maybe that's why they didn't do it, because it's been done in The Other.
In The Other. There's a movie you should go see. If you like this movie and you agree with me, go watch that one. You'll probably enjoy that just as much.
Email us. podcast@isedidead.com or just Twitter us. You know, the Edi Podcast. Find us on Facebook, Edi Podcast, and just let us know what you think about it. I mean, watch the movie, let us know what you think, and then watch the other and let us know what you think. No? Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm just enjoying this expensive coffee I just bought.
I'll tell you this much, though. I ain't letting no damn little twins in my house anytime soon.
Hell no.